Sponsorship of the KQED live audio stream comes from Xfinity Mobile, featuring customized wireless plans. Customers can choose unlimited, buy the gig, shared data, or a mix of both and switch it up anytime. Learn more at xfinitymobile.com.
California's landmark Proposition 36 was intended to send some people caught using or possessing drugs to treatment rather than prison. Voters overwhelmingly passed Prop 36 in hopes of reducing the prison population and therefore saving the state money. Independent studies show that despite its flaws, Prop 36 has benefited the state's bottom line so long as defendants are steered to community-based treatment programs. But Prop 36 only required the state to fund these programs through 2007. Now it's up to the legislature and the governor, and the current budget slashed Prop 36 funding almost in half, leaving counties to rely on federal dollars and local money for drug treatment. That complicates life in drug courts like this one in Santa Clara County.
All rise. Department 64 is now in session. The Honorable Stephen B. Manley presiding.
Please be seated, ladies and gentlemen, and good afternoon. We welcome you to our very special mental health and drug treatment courts. As always, before we begin, I say a few words about the program. This is a program unlike any other, a courtroom like any other. We are not here for me to send people to jail or prison. I do not enjoy doing that. This is a program in which we work on treatment, getting people into treatment and hopefully...
Superior Court Judge Stephen Manley supervises all Prop 36 cases in Santa Clara County. He's known for the black patch covering his left eye and for having a big heart. He keeps baskets of toys in his courtroom to give out to kids, and a bowl of candy sits on the defense table where drug offenders sit before him. Today, one of his Prop 36 clients, Danielle Smith, has fulfilled the requirements to graduate from the program.
So, Danielle, you've made it. So we're going to invite you to our next graduation.
I'll be here.
How long have you been clean and sober?
Almost 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
I spoke with Danielle Smith outside the courtroom after Judge Manley cleared her record and, for good measure, gave her a hug for staying clean and sober.
I had a baby a couple years ago, so that was kind of where I started becoming clean. When you don't have a chance to get certain jobs because you have a felony on your record, that takes a lot of opportunities away. And if you don't complete Prop 36, then you don't have the option to get that taken off. It stays forever. So
what does it mean to you to have your record now cleared?
I don't have a felony and all these misdemeanors on my record, and that makes a difference for a whole bunch of jobs that I couldn't even bother to apply for before.
And how long have you been in treatment then?
3 years, 3 months, I think.
Yeah. And what was that?
It's been a long time because I didn't do what I was supposed to be doing at first. I tried to beat the system. I didn't go, failed my out program, didn't go to testing and certain things like that. But you're never going to graduate Prop 36 unless you do all those things. So it's been a change. It's been a big change in life for me and for everybody, my family.
So, you know, because of the state budget cuts, there are people who come in today and have to wait for weeks and weeks and weeks.
I know. We all know about that. A lot of the outpatient programs got cut, so everybody that's been sitting in jail, even some people that we know still, they're just going to sit there and rot. People that are users should have the chance to have recovery.
I sat down with Judge Manley in his chambers to talk about how the state budget cuts are affecting his work with Prop 36 cases.
Well, I think it puts judges in a very difficult position because if there is no treatment, there is nothing for anyone to enter. And therefore, what happens, for example, in my court is we have offenders coming back week after week, month after month, waiting to get into treatment. Right now, the waiting list in my county is over 500, not to enter treatment, but just to get your first appointment to determine what level of treatment you need because of the dramatic cuts in the amount of treatment we have available.
And how long is a typical waiting list until you get into that system?
In my county, we had to shut our entire system down in June, anticipating these cuts, and reduce the size of the program, which meant that we could not allow any new defendants into the program until the ones in the Proposition 36 and treatment programs had either completed them or failed to come to the program so that we could have openings. And that took about 90 days before anyone could enter treatment at all. So from June until now, there have been a waiting list of 90 days, basically, into September. We have finally opened the system up again. However, as soon as it is filled, it will be shut again. What we have learned over time is, if you wait, if you delay, and I saw that this morning, if you don't get offenders into treatment that they need right now, then the likelihood of them entering treatment or before they're rearrested is not good. This morning I had two offenders who are using daily and being arrested repeatedly who want treatment. They're not arguing that they don't want treatment. They want it. But the level they need is residential, which is the highest level of treatment we have. And in our county, residential has been cut by about 45 to 50%. That means that these offenders can't get into that level of treatment. Well, if you don't get into the right level, it's like any other disease. If you don't get the treatment you need for your present condition, then you are not going to have a successful outcome. And so what we're doing is saying to people, you need to be in residential treatment, which is highly structured, 24-hour treatment, no access to drugs. You're in treatment sessions all day. You're not allowed to leave the facility at night. And it is a zero tolerance so that if you test positive, you are removed from the program. Well, someone who needs that level of treatment, if they don't obtain it, if they can't be placed in that level of treatment, then they continue to be arrested and use drugs. I've worked with drug addicts for many years, and I know it is like certain other diseases that the likelihood that someone will succeed the first time around is not high. It's very similar, as I often say, to smoking. People who smoke cigarettes, and you ask them, well, have you, did you stop? Now, did you stop the first time you tried to stop? When I teach, I will ask that. And how many, raise your hand. And then I say, well, how many of you took three times? How many took four times? You see more and more hands go up. The number of people who are able to stop drugs with just one opportunity is very, very small.
Santa Clara County Drug and Mental Health Court Judge Stephen Manley. We'll have the rest of our conversation with him in the second half of our show, along with a look ahead to what an overhaul of the nation's health care system could mean for California. You're listening to Health Dialogues. Welcome back to Health Dialogues. I'm Scott Schaefer, and just before the break, we were looking at how the new state budget will affect funding for substance abuse programs mandated by Prop 36. That's the measure that sends people caught using or possessing drugs in California to treatment instead of prison. Let's get back to our conversation with Judge Stephen Manley. He oversees the drug court in Santa Clara County. He says at first he was surprised by the kind of drug addiction problems he saw in his court.
What we have and what we did not realize when the statute was passed is that the number of individuals who are eligible for this program who have severe addiction challenges. In other words, they've been using for many years and they started their use when they were very young, instead of having a broad spread of the population where you have some people that have only been using a short time and a big group in the middle that have only been using slightly more than a short time, and then at one end you'd have some who had been using for many years. It worked out to be the other way around. We did not have that many people who had little experience in using drugs. And so what happens in that situation is you have far too many people who have been using drugs for years. To expect them to succeed in a program like this at the funding level it had to begin with, which was insufficient, to me is unrealistic. You have to be patient with this group. You need to have sanctions, which we do not have. You need to be able to hold people accountable, have timeouts where you try to get people to refocus. You need to have what we call detox facilities. That's where someone who's using daily can go and stay for 72 hours or 48 hours or whatever short period of time it takes to simply stop the use of drugs before they can move into treatment.
But you're talking about adding money, and here we are cutting it back to the bones.
Right. But I would add this. There's one thing we know that costs more than anything in this state, and that is our correction system. The alternative to treatment is jail and prison, and there is nothing that I have ever seen in my career more expensive than the jail and prison system. If you apply that remedy to drug offenders who are users and who possess for their own personal use, it will create no change whatsoever. You will have them off the streets and out of circulation for a period of time, but you will not stop their drug use. So this is a segment of the criminal justice population that is very large, and drugs and alcohol drive our system. And yet, if you're going to have any success with them, you cannot use jail and prison as the sanction or the sentencing and expect to get good outcomes. You will get the same terrible outcomes that we have gotten to date.
Given the budget realities, the economy is still struggling and maybe for the next year or two, what needs to happen to change the way Prop 36 is implemented until we can get more funding into the system?
As I view things, and we simply do not have enough funds to run this state. I mean, the courts have been cut. There isn't any area that hasn't been cut. And so the legislature and governor have to make very hard choices. And unless you can demonstrate that you can produce good results, it's unlikely that you're going to receive additional funding. Therefore, I think what we have to concentrate on is demonstrating that we can, even with less money, continue to produce solid results and build on that.
How hopeful are you?
I am always hopeful. I am always hopeful because the alternative to go backwards is unacceptable. I don't believe the voters, I don't believe the legislature or the governor want us to go back to a situation in which we're returning people to jail and prison again and again and again for using drugs. I think they want to see us move people out of prisons, out of jail, through treatment and back into the community and not have them keep coming back through the courts. As I've often said, the greatest challenge we face in the courts is we have become the safety net for all the basic problems in society, whether it be mental health, substance abuse, veterans coming back. So many times they end up in our criminal justice system. I wish they didn't. I wish there was another way in society to do these things. But in my experience over the years, more and more people are coming into the criminal justice system as funding is cut in these other areas. I spend a great deal of my time trying to figure out ways in which we can stop people from entering the criminal justice system, because the treatment for someone who has been using drugs for 15 to 20 years, who started using drugs at the age of 13 and who never received any treatment before, to try and start this far down the line is an incredible challenge. It would be so much better if we started earlier.
Judge Manley, thanks so much. Complicated problem.
It is, indeed. But it can be solved.
Stephen Manley heads up Santa Clara County's drug court, where state budget cuts are reducing the treatment options judges like him have.